All right, without further ado, I will go ahead and introduce the last speakers before the happy hour session. Luckily, we have two wonderful presenters to tide us through that last painful 45 minutes. It's going to be wonderful. First, we have Alex Reed, National Tax Team or National Team Leader at Baker Hostetler's Tax Exempt Org and Charitable Giving Team. And we have Kyle Zumberg. I believe you all know he is responsible for all of us being here today. So thank you to both of you.
Thank you for having us. Kyle, we don't have your traditional walk-on music, do we?
No. So I have to point out my tax master out there. Wait, Sandra, Darren, we still have NOL carryforwards from pre-tax years. UT does. UT does.
Fantastic.
Y'all using them up at UTIMCO.
Those are precious. Precious, precious.
Yes.
All right, so what should we talk about?
Well, I guess in the last conversation, I heard Matthew say that you can't possibly look at all contracts and agreements that happen, and I think that, you know, most large universities, you know, ours included, we number our contracts in the thousands each year. But at the same time, you know, there's lots of different types of transactions that we need to think about for UBIT purposes, and I guess I'm not as trusting as he is and don't always feel that those departments are as capable of looking at them as they'd like to think.
Yeah, in my experience, you can always improve a contract. So what do you do? Do you try to educate, teach people to fish so that they can spot UBIT themselves?
Well, I guess as an institution, and this goes back when I was previously UT system, back in the 1980s, late 80s, the IRS started its first examination program, and UT Austin was the lucky recipient of one of those, and in the course of that, we realized that we weren't doing a very good job, and, you know, some of those things were kind of complicated, so we created a policy that said, hey, all contracts that have the potential to generate UBIT have to go through this certain kind of review process. And so we have actually a policy on at the system level to require us to look at those.
That's now, interesting. How do you write a policy that can identify possible UBIT generating?
It basically says just that, if it has the likelihood to create UBIT, and I guess that's an amorphous enough term, no one knows what it is. And so, you know, largely, and I'm once again not speaking from my current role at UT Austin, but when I was at UT System, you know, we had 13 institutions, sometimes it was 14, it just depended, but they didn't have the expertise, and so then we created a role at each one of the institutions that was called an institutional tax coordinator, and that individual's purpose was to be the kind of watchdog on that campus for potential taxable issues. And then I would do kind of like Matthew was talking in the previous presentation, where he'd go out and try to educate. And so, you know, I had my various slideshows for talking about sponsorship was always one that I always found to be kind of fun, because it started with the Cotton Bowl here in Texas and football and big oil money. So it was always one that was super interesting to me.
A heady mix.
Yes. But we'd go out and try to talk to people, because much like our, title of our presentation today, you know, it's not always easy to necessarily tell what is an agreement or what's in the agreement and what it is and how we need to look at it.
Yeah, fair enough. I was taught as a young associate by Lori Spitzer, who's probably familiar to many of you here. He said, never pay UBIT. He said, actually what he said was, this is kind of insulting, he said, only fools pay UBIT, which I thought was pretty strong. But his point was that you can always choose not to with enough advanced planning. So there's always a way out of UBIT.
Yes, don't disagree. In fact, I think that's 100% true. And I can tell you, I think that something worth remembering whenever we're looking at a UBTI question, you've got to remember, we got three fact questions at the front that we get to basically plan around. Now, some of them are harder than others. But, you know, is it a trader business, profit motive? We can work on those facts. Is it regularly carried on? In all likelihood, most of the time, it's going to be hard not to be regularly carried on. But then, whether it's substantially related or not, and then you have the chance to always try to introduce students or do something else to definitely make it related. And, I mean, it has to be more than just perfunctory involvement, but there are things you can do, which is about any situation.